Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello to all of our wonderful listeners. We are just so excited to be back with you once again on today for another exciting and exuberant, lively, timely, anointed episode of Prophetically Speaking. Well, listen, for those of you that's joining in with us for the first time, allow me the opportunity to introduce myself to you. I am your host, and I'm Prophetess Shanoncia Balk, and along with me, I have a dynamic co-host, none other than Prophetess Gloria Jenkins. Prophetess Jenkins, how is your day on today?
I am blessed today and highly favored. I'm glad to be here on today.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know what? Here in the city of Houston, we have a little bit of dreary weather on today. We have some scattered showers, but again, I always tell you, know, I stick with my testimony. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. What type of weather are you guys having there?
It's nice, sunshiny. It's nice weather here. Very nice.
Wow. Well, we need some of that sunshine here in Houston. I want you to get a handful of it and just throw it this way, okay?
Yeah.
Because we need it. Well, so for those of you that are faithful to listening to our show, you know that over the last couple of weeks, we gave you the wonderful privilege and opportunity of enjoying some of our previous archived shows that we have there. And so today we are actually with you live, and we're just always so glad and so elated to be with you and just so happy for all of you, those of you that take the time to join in with us. And we are still getting so many people that calling in and speaking about the previous shows that we've had. And Prophetess Jenkins, I've gotten rave reviews, still getting rave reviews on the show that we did on birthing. And I tell you, that was an awesome series, and I'm just still so glad about all of the revelation, all of the input that the Holy Spirit gave us to give to the people of God. I'm just so glad about it. And, you know, I'm here now, Prophetess Jenkins. Ironically, God began to deal with me about our topic on today. Just began to reveal to me about there's no God like our God. There's no God like our God. How God is so able to do so many different things. You know, whenever it seems like our back is up against the wall and it seems like we're dealing with so many different variety of things, whether it be good or bad, God is yet and still God. And, you know, one of the things that oftentimes we've seen is that people like to harp on God, or go to God, or find a way to get to God when they feel like problems are on the rise, when they feel like things are not going the way they want them to be. But, you know, Prophetess Jenkins, I've even found out that there is a time even in life when nothing is going wrong. Everything can be going good. But even at that time, you still need God, because you have so many people that feel as though they need God when they're down to nothing. But, you know, because I found out that even when I'm not down to nothing, even when I have all of my needs met, when I'm living in the overflow, ironically, that's the time when I need God the most. Because we're living in that time of overflow when we're at the place where it seems like all of our natural needs are met and we really don't have a need to call on anybody for anything, we can then become very self-sufficient. And if we're not careful, we can become self-sufficient that we actually forget that it was God himself that allowed us to get to the place of sufficiency that we are now in. And so it is just so important that no matter what situation, no matter what position or predicament we find ourselves in, we have to always remember who is the God of our season, who is the God of our circumstance, who is the God of our predicament. And, you know, as I was talking to the Lord and just seeking him about what it is that he wanted us to begin to talk about, he began to share with me about the children of Israel and how they had been in a difficult place. They had been in a place that was actually twofold, because they were in a place where, yes, the needs were met. Yes, they did have food to eat. Yes, they did have a place to lay their head. They were in a land, although the land was not their own, they were somewhere where their needs would be met. However, they were under slave rulership. And so there was a good and a bad that was taking place. And so then we go on to where the children of Israel were led out of the place of bondage, the place where Pharaoh was their master. They were led from this place of bondage. And they were brought forward by Moses into a wilderness, to a place where they had to be led by God. God had to lead them every step of the way. Being led by Moses, they were brought to a place called the Red Sea. And I probably think at this point, I know there was some scripture that you had in mind, and what I want you to do is take a moment. I believe, if you're looking there, I believe I want you to look at the 13th chapter and the 18th verse. It's what I think I want you to take a moment to look at. And if you would, please just read a little bit about that, and let's elaborate on that for just a moment for the people of God. Go right ahead.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I greet the people of God today in the name of Jesus. So good to be here today. Thanking God for everything that he's done, everything he's going to do for us in this hour. So as we look at the scripture about the Red Sea and the people of Israel crossing over on the Red Sea, it's a wonderful thing. We know how awesome God is. Exodus 13:18 says, "So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle." That's in the New Living Bible. Hallelujah. So God led them around about. He led them through the wilderness. Remember, people, we have to go through some things and get to the place that God has taken us. Mm-hmm. When I think about the Red Sea, I think about how they walk over. You know the story. They walk over on dry land. Mm-hmm. They say the east wind blew all night and dried the land. So when they got ready to cross over, the land was dry. And I think about, they came through not muddy, not watery, not wet. Hallelujah. I think about the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, how they came out not smelling the smoke. And God will lead you in a place that he'll cause you, it looked devastating, but he'll lead you to a place. You'll come out looking better than you went in.
Uh-huh.
And that's the awesome power of God. I can think about it. I remember this song comes to my mind. I look all over. There's a song we sing in church that says, "I look all over, couldn't find nobody. I look high and low, and still couldn't find nobody." Nobody like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So we look all over, and sometimes we're looking in the wrong places. We're looking in the wrong direction, and we're turning to the wrong people, but we can all just turn to God.
Mm-hmm.
Turn to Jesus and let him lead us. You know, because he won't forsake us. Even as they were led through the wilderness to the Red Sea, you know, I can imagine them looking at the Red Sea woman going and saying, "How in the world are we going to get across that?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen? How are we going to cross this Russian Red
Sea?"
Ripping, the waves are blowing and the water's flashing, and they just knew that we're going to meet our disaster today. We won't cross. But your faith has to be in the God Almighty, that if he brought you to it, he's going to bring you through it.
And Prophet Jenkins, if I could say one thing while you're right there, because I think you just made such an important point. There are so many times that we, as people of God, are attempting to be led by the voice of God, and we feel that we are leaving a negative situation just like they were, and we're going, and we find ourselves faced with yet another negative situation. And so the thing that comes to my mind is that even when they were leaving, they were faced with a multitude of emotions. There were all types of emotions that I'm absolutely certain that these people dealt with, because they're thinking, well, let's put it in human to terms, today's terms, they're thinking, okay, God, you're leading me. Okay, God, you're telling me to follow this man. You're telling me to follow this individual. You're telling me that they're going to lead me from this place of bondage. They're going to lead me from this place of being a slave. They're going to lead me from this place of doing things against my will. And yet when I leave this place, I'm thinking that I'm leaving because you got something better for me. I'm leaving because you're leading me into a place where it's going to be peace, where I'm no longer going to be a slave. I'm no longer going to be doing things against my will. And then I leave with high expectation. I leave with high anticipation, believing that you're God and you're going to do what you said you're going to do. And on my journey, singing songs of praise, going through the wilderness, believing that there's no God like my God. And then I get to yet another difficult place. I'm faced with a Red Sea situation. And for many of us, we've had to live that scenario. For many of us, we're walking it out day by day. And we get to this Red Sea, and it absolutely looks bleak, absolutely looks impossible, absolutely looks like there's no way that I'm going to get from that side, from this place where I am, to that place over there. And for us, let's think about your own situation. What is it that God has led you from? What is it that you're anticipating on getting to? But what is it that's right there in the middle that's causing your faith to be put on hold? That's causing your stepping with motion to be put at a standstill. What is it? Is it a diagnosis? Is it a financial dilemma? Is it a family issue? Is it a job issue? Is it an economy issue? Vehicle. There's so many different things that we look at that's right there in front of us that we are just really concerned as to, why am I not able to cross this situation? And so when we think about that, it brings it to a more realistic and a more human terminology. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that scenario?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, go right ahead.
Hallelujah. And we can really trust God to be faithful to him. We can trust him to be faithful. We can trust him to bring us out the, like you say, the difficult times, the difficult situations. You know, I can imagine them walking, going toward the wilderness, and God even provided for them because he led them by night and day with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. He even gave them light to travel with. And I can imagine them walking. You know, sometimes we walk through our devastating times and wonder, how in the world are we going to come out of this? What's going to happen at the end of this? And we just have to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
We have to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it looks difficult,
mm-hmm.
even though it looks disastrous, even though we don't know if we're going to make it through, we have
mm-hmm.
to trust God that he's,
mm-hmm.
if he's going to be with us, he'll be with
mm-hmm.
us at the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll never forsake us. So that's the blessed assurance we have that even though we're facing some difficult times, some devastating times, we know that his promises that I never leave you, nor
forsake you. Mm-hmm.
As you go through the wilderness, as you go toward the Red Sea, looking at the serious, flirtatious waves kicking up, and you're wondering, Lord, you say you're going to be with me, and I trust you, and you have to really trust God at times like this. When you're going through, you go to the doctor, and you might get a bad report, and the doctor say this, and the doctor say that. But you got to trust God that, God, you're my healer. You say, I'm healed by your stripes, so you have to trust God to honor his word. His word is not going to return to him void. That we know. He's not going to let his word return to his void. He's going to do whatever that word says he's going to do. We have to trust God to be with us through the difficult times. And I can imagine the Israelites walking toward,
mm-hmm.
trying to run away from Pharaoh and walking toward
yes.
in the wilderness and going toward to get away from Pharaoh and his army. They had to go through some things, but they had to trust God in the midst
absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely.
In the midst
no.
of the doctor say, in the midst
right.
of what you're looking at, in the midst of what
yes.
your pocketbook say, in the midst of what your bank statement say, in
right.
the midst of your car broke down, and you don't know how to go, in the midst of all the difficulties, we still have to trust God.
Yes.
We have to trust
mm-hmm.
him that he said he won't leave us.
That's
the assurance we have. We mm-hmm. have his word, and we get in his word and begin to read his word, know what his word says about him being there for us. He promised us, he promised a lot of people who's listening tonight, today, a lot of promises. God says promises are yea and amen. If he spoke it, he will surely bring it to pass. We just have to trust the Lord and lean not to our own understanding. Amen. Not look at what we see, but begin to acknowledge him in all ways and watch he direct our path right toward victory. Amen.
I absolutely agree with you. Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. And so even with that, you know, one of the things that comes to my mind is that one of the reasons why the trust factor can be so dominant is because at the end of it, we know that there was a guarantee. There was a promise. There was something that he had already said on the other side of it. And he had already said to them that he was going to lead them to the land. He'd already said he's going to lead them to a promised land. And so, therefore, even though difficult times were already right there in the front, you cannot always go by what you see, but you have to remember what you've already heard. And, you know, even with that being said, I just want to take a moment to share, because even in the background, many of you may have heard some talking, or you may have heard some sounds. Even as I share with you, even at this point, I'm right now in the hospital with one of our family members that has been ill and whatnot and has been placed into the hospital. And so for me to even be able to stand here in the hospital in the midst of everything that's being done and then going on all around me, to be able to let you know that, yes, even though you may be faced with some difficult times, you've got to still have that trust to know that whatever God says is what he's going to do. So this is one of those moments, Prophet Jenkins, when it really takes the people of God, it takes each one of us when you are faced with the Red Sea situation. It's one of those moments when you have to stop and ask yourself, how well do you know the person that has said something to you? It puts you in a place where you really got to be done, because it's not only about a prophetic word, it's about knowing what the word of God has already spoken to you. The word of God itself is prophetic. And so, therefore, it's not about someone coming to you and saying, God said this or God said that, but it is about you already knowing what the word of God has already said about you. By his stripes, I'm already healed. I will live and not die, and I will declare the words of the Lord. You've already got to know what he's already said. And so when you know what he's already said about your situation, take the word of God and put it to work for you. One of the things, Prophet Jenkins, that I shared with someone some time ago is that sometimes in the body, our faith is waiting on us to put it to work. Faith is standing right there waiting. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Many times our faith is looking for employment. Our faith is wanting something to do. Our faith has been sitting and waiting on us to put it to work, when all we've got to do is take that faith and put it on whatever God says that we are supposed to be putting it on. If there is a sickness, if there's a family issue, if there's a financial issue, if there is a psychological issue, an emotional issue, a church issue, whatever that issue is, put your faith to work. There is a Red Sea in front of you. But here's the good thing. When you finish reading the story, when you leave from the place of the Red Sea, you know that the story goes on to say that the Red Sea was parted and the people of God went through to the other side on dry ground. And as they made it to the other side on dry ground, the very enemy that had been pursuing them, that enemy was over by the very water that parted and allowed God's people to go through. And so even though you may be standing, looking at a situation that looks impassable, looking at a situation that looks impossible, looking at a situation that looks like it cannot happen, take the faith, because the Bible says that each one of us has already been given a measure of faith. Take the faith that you've been given. Take the mustard seed grain of faith and put the faith to work. How do you put your faith to work? Get in the word of God. I don't know how to speak my word. I don't know how to find word. Let me tell you what to do. Go to the back of your Bible. Many of you have the Bible with the concordance. Go to the back of the Bible. And if you're dealing with a financial issue, look in the back of the Bible. Or even better yet, you can go on your phone, go to Bible Gateway, look up financial issues, find scriptures that will help you to build a foundation to walk on when it comes to your issue. Take that scripture and every day quote that scripture over your situation. And as you every day quote that scripture over your situation, be resolute and be determined and just stay in belief that what the Word of God has to say is going to work for you. Now, one of the things I found to be true is that so many times we want things to happen instantaneously. Many of us do. You know, Prophetess Jenkins, I find myself every single day exercising. Every day.
Come on.
Because I have to make sure that my weight stays at a certain point. I like the way I look. I like the way I feel. But in order for me to continue on a positive path, there are some things I have to do that happen. You know, I can't just get up and then my clothes fit the way they're supposed to. I got to do something. I got to keep this body in. I got to do something. Watch what I eat. I got to exercise. I got to drink water. I got to stop eating sweets or stop drinking soda or don't eat this late at night. There are certain things I have to do to maintain a positive weight. There are certain things I have to do to maintain good health. It's the same thing with your faith. Your faith is not just going to get up and work for you. You got to get that faith up and put faith to work. Speak over your situation. Speak even to your body. Speak to your situation. Speak, just like I'm in this hospital right now, speaking to the individual that's in the hospital right now, speaking faith even into their spirit. You're going to live and not die. You will declare the word of the Lord. Speak, woman of God. There's a man here in the city of Houston. He's an old bishop now. And I remember him sharing a story, and he said that he had a vehicle. He had to go to church. He had a family. And he said that his car would not work. He got up. Car wouldn't work. And he took some oil and poured it on the motor of his car and began to pray. And the car started. And he was able to drive his car. I believe stuff like that can happen.
Amen.
I simply believe that when you put your faith to work, that it will work. Probably because I think you've heard me tell many times, even about the story about my foot, how I fell and messed up my foot.
Amen.
And the bone was completely shifted out of position. And when the bone was shifted out of position, doctors told me that I would not be able to walk on my foot again. They would have to do an additional surgery to shift the bone back in place. They said I would never be able to wear heels again. And shoes I'll be able to wear, some boots or some combat boots so that I can walk in. When I went to the doctor, I'd already been in a cast for about 3 months. I needed to come out. I couldn't work. I couldn't get around. I couldn't do anything. And so when they shared with me this negative news about my foot, I refused to take it. And I said, no, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to take your word for that. And the lady said to me at the doctor's office that she came in, she was ready to do a CT scan. She was ready to schedule me for surgery. And I said, no, because if I had done the surgery, I'd be off my foot for another 3 months. I wanted to do it because I wanted my foot back in alignment, but at the same time, I wanted to get up and get about. Sick of riding knee scooters, sick of being on crutches, sick of not being able to ride. I was tired of it. And so the lady said to me, I've got to do the surgery on your foot. That's the only way we're going to get this thing resolved. I said to her, no, give me 7 days. I said, in within 7 days, I'm going to let you know what I'm going to do. And it's a long story because I had to put some faith to work. But woman of God, I began to prophesy to my foot. I began to speak to that foot. I began to declare the word of God over my foot. And glory be to God, within 7 days, I was walking on this foot. And I thank you, Jesus, that I'm walking now. I thank you, Jesus, that I'm wearing heels right now. Sometimes I wear heels every single day. I thank God. I glory be to God. But I had to get up and put my faith to work. I could have very easily said to the doctor, go ahead and schedule me for the surgery. Do what you got to do. Put the bone back in place. And that is not a problem because God placed doctors here on this earth for a reason. That would not have been a problem. The only problem I was dealing with was my own schedule. I did not have the time to be back on my back for another 3 months because I had already been struggling for 3 months anyway. And so at that point, when I felt like, you know, I just don't have the time to go through what the medical doctors wanted to offer me, I needed to move with God right now. So I put my faith to work. I got my faith off the bench. I put my faith in the game, and I'm walking. So I'm glad about that. Okay. I'm glad about that. Go right here.
Hallelujah. When I think about you, woman, I think about how we're not just supposed to look at things we see. Because I remember, if the listeners can remember, my sister who went through a major surgery, the first day I went to visit her, I knew I was faced with a devastating situation. I was faced with a situation of death. But I went home and began to declare and decree things. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just knew that I had to go touch bases with my God. And long story short, to tell you, my sister is alive, driving, walking, and doing everything she needs to do. We can't be moved because the devil shows the most devastating situation, the most devastating part of the trial you're going through, and make you doubt God and say, maybe you won't come through this, and this won't happen, that won't happen. But when God had you look at what you was, had to keep your eyes on what you was looking at,
mm-hmm.
What the doctors were saying, you could have said,
mm-hmm.
maybe I need to go and have this surgery. I might be
right.
later for something.
Right.
But you begin to tap into your faith and say, nope, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe the Lord. And God came through with flying colors. And that's the kind of God we serve. Look all over, couldn't find nobody. I look high and low, still couldn't find nobody. That's what somebody's saying today. I've been looking all over, but I'm telling you, look to Jesus. He's the answer to every problem you face with today. Amen?
My God, I don't think there's another way to say it. Yes, he is. And I think that even with this story itself, it is just perfect. I just, you know, I always have to just give God, I thank God because, you know, there's sometimes even with this foot, that was a Red Sea situation. You know, when I had that brain surgery, that was a Red Sea situation.
Man.
You know, my family members right now dealing with some things, you know, that even let me just back up, you know, for many of you heard the story just a few months ago how my nephew went to sleep and he didn't wake up. That was a Red Sea situation. Didn't know how we were going to get through that. And for those of you that did not know, one of my very dear friends and my nephew passed away within a day of each other. While I was at home typing the program for my nephew's funeral, I got a telephone call that my friend had just had a stroke and they considered him to be brain dead within a day apart. That was a Red Sea situation. So I'm having to go from one hospital to the next, having to go from one home to the next, comforting my family, comforting their family. That was a lot to deal with in 1 week, but I had to do it. I had to deal with that. And so there are many individuals, you know, that even listen now, you're dealing with these Red Sea situations. And the thing about a Red Sea situation, if you think about a sea, it looks huge. You think about how deep the water looks, the depth of the water looks like, oh, my God, I could never drink that much water. I could never swim to get to the other side of this. What is this that I'm dealing with? It's a Red Sea situation. But guess what? The Word of God also tells us that with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Nothing
shall be impossible. And so we just really want to encourage you on today to let you know that, yeah, we're going to make light of your situation. We're not going to tell anybody that it's not hard when you deal with a Red Sea situation. You know, there are some people, the situation I've been reading about, there was a young lady that won, I believe it was an $18 million Powerball. She won. But when she won the $18 million, they interviewed her, and they asked her, what was her plan? She said, I'm going to pay my tithes, and I'm going to take care of my children, and we're going to live good. Everybody's like, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful story. Well, the sister got the $18 million. She won the money. And the first thing she did was got her boyfriend out of jail. And I think she paid, if I'm not mistaken, $8 million altogether, getting him back and forth out of jail. And he was trafficking drugs. So she didn't do anything. She said she was at a Red Sea situation. And then I saw today, it was a new story posted, the same woman. The gentleman is back in jail again for dealing drugs again.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's probably going to use more money to go, that's a Red Sea situation. So see, when you think about these situations, it's just not always when a person is at the bottom of the barrel and they feel like they don't have this or don't have that. Sometimes you can have everything, but not know what to do with what it is that you have. That's a Red Sea situation.
Right.
So we don't want you to think that this is all about the woe me and the poor me, because whether you're on the top, whether you're in the middle, or whether you're on the bottom, you have something that you have to deal with. You have something that you're going to face. You have something that's going to stand you and look you face to face and expect you to give a response. And what are you going to respond with? Who is it that you're going to use to fight your battle? Today, we want to let you know that you might have a Red Sea situation, but use your faith, because with God, nothing is impossible. This show has been such a blessing to me today. The words that we shared on here have really been a blessing, and it has ministered to my spirit. And so I just want to thank you always, Father Jenkins, for coming on, allowing God to speak to you, to speak through you, and just being used of God as you always do. People of God, we thank God for you. We thank you for tuning in to hear what God has to say to you today. I want to elicit, I hope I'm saying the word right. I can't even speak properly now. I want to ask you to continue to pray for my family. As I stated, we do have a family member that is now in the hospital looking to have some form of pneumonia. And so we definitely want you to be praying for him and praying, lifting up the family. And Prophet Jenkins, I want you to know I love you. We want you, the radio audience, to know that we love you. And we're going to be looking forward to coming back with another awesome word from the Lord on next Tuesday at 3:00 p.m. Listen, until we speak to you, remember to put your faith to work, no matter how big that Red Sea is, no matter how impassable it may seem. Nothing is impassable. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is something that cannot be done without God being in the midst. Prophet Jenkins, I love you. To our radio audience, we love you. And we'll be back next Tuesday at 3:00 p.m. God bless.
God bless.